The New Testament reading is written in Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, to be found on page 1183 in the Church Bible. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belonged to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is the word of the Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to your word today, help us to see clearly what it means. Lord, please be changing our hearts to seek and to desire to follow your Son Jesus more wholeheartedly. Lord, I pray that you'll be doing this in us this morning. Amen. I think our culture has a little bit of an obsession with adding things to things to make them better. The first example that popped into my head was, you may have a house with a loft, and the natural thing to do with a loft is to convert it, because that ultimately will add more value to your property. You might add an ensuite bathroom as well. We have a tendency to want to add things to things to make them better. It's why Apple have keep bringing out more and more iPhones, because they keep finding new things to add to them, even though it's probably functionally still just a phone. And actually, the question asked in Colossians, the question the Colossian Christians were in danger of doing, was thinking, do I need to add something to Jesus? Do I need to add something to his teachings? Will that make him more valuable? Will that make him better? Is that what I need to do? Our culture seems to really value doing that. Do I need to do that with Jesus? Well, the resounding answer is no. And we're going to spend our time in Colossians looking at why Paul says that. I'd like to say, if you look first at verses 6 and 8, I've entitled this, Jesus is all I need for every day. And effectively, verses 6 and 8 are the summary of the section that follows. So once I've done a bit of work on 6 and 8, I'll then show you how the rest of the passage backs that up. So he says in verse 6 that just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Very important this. There's two key things to be brought out of that. Christ is the Saviour. Christ Jesus is a Saviour for my sins. The one I need first and foremost for the Saviour of my sins to bring me back to God. But he's also referred to as Lord. Again, this brings out the idea of Jesus being the Lord of my whole life. So once I've taken that, taken him on as my Christ, as my Saviour, I then have him as my Lord as well, the one who I give my whole life to. And what Paul is saying to these Christians, what Paul is saying to us is that in verse 7, so you started out with Jesus, keep going with Jesus. Continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. So we understand the idea that of a plant having roots, and that if the roots are in solid soil, they will grow. And Paul is using that illustration to say the idea of being rooted in Christ, but then continuing to be built up by him, continue to grow. Here he talks, continuing in the faith you are taught, as we grow together, as we learn. We're growing together in Jesus. And that is to counteract the issue that's going on, the hollow, the captive, the deceptive philosophies in verse 8. And these are also dependent on elemental spiritual forces. These forces are referring to the devil and to his plans. And clearly one of his key purposes, if you look at Mark chapter 8, verse 33, is to frustrate the plans of God. When Peter said to Jesus, do not go to the cross, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. The philosophies that are made up by human rules are there to ensnare us, to draw us away from Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that we continue to grow in. He is the one that will save us. And so the devil wants to frustrate his purposes, to pull us away from him. So we have to be careful. We can't deny there is someone behind the philosophies that's bigger. There is someone that will tell us the lies. And we need to stand firm against him. And what we need to stand firm against him is Christ. In fact, a bigger vision of Jesus. We're going to look at verses 9 to 15. And Paul says so much about Jesus in this, to make our vision of bigger Jesus so big that we will no longer be attracted or drawn to the philosophies that are there to draw us away. Philosophies is just like a set of ideas or thoughts. So those are the kind of things that are drawing us away. So we're going to look at verses 9 to 15. Christ has done all we need. So verse 9, he is God in human form, and he is the fullness of God. And that means that God is not 80% in Jesus and 20% in my television. Or God is not 80% in Jesus and 20% in my career. The Bible is clear that if we want to know about God, it is always and only to be found in Jesus. We cannot pursue or find God anywhere else. He is found in Jesus. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. God came to earth in Jesus, who is also God as well. So we have here that Jesus is God in bodily form. So we have to remember that. Always keep our eyes fixed on him for teaching, for growing. He is the head. And in Christ, you've been brought to fullness. So I haven't been saved 80% by Jesus and then 20% by my TV. My TV won't save. It's only Jesus, and that's what Jesus has done. He has freed me from the powers and authorities, verse 10. We looked at how this is a desire for rescue. And I'm going to say that one of the key things we need rescuing from, and one of the key things we may feel the need for rescue from, and what Jesus has done, is he's freed us from the past that condemns us. So as we go through, we see that in verse 10 and 12, our hearts were unchanged. We were dead in our sins, no longer able to save ourselves. We needed Jesus. But through Christ we were saved. We were free from the devil and the captivity we were under in our sins. And why is that so? Verse 14, the legal indebtedness was cancelled against us. The devil's great accusation against us is that we are people that have sinned, and so we need to be punished. Effectively, it's that your past means you cannot come to Jesus. You've done too much wrong, the devil wants to say to us. All those things you've done, no one will ever accept you as a Christian. No church will welcome you. Jesus wouldn't want you. Those are the lies, the traps. And actually, our human philosophy does play to that. Our culture plays to that. And we know that reputation is so important. People's pasts are regularly digged up in the media. And so we can have a fear that if our past was uncovered, we would not be allowed, Jesus would not accept us. And Paul is saying that is wrong. The devil has been disarmed. The powers and authorities no longer have a power. Verse 15, he disarmed them on the cross. What? How did he disarm them? He disarmed them because he took away the greatest weapon. He took the punishment. He took the penalty. He died for us and rose again. And therefore, if we believe in Jesus, the devil cannot accuse us. The punishment has been paid for. There is no longer an accusation to throw at us. We can stand firm in the knowledge that through Christ we were made by him alive and we were given a relationship with God. And it can be very important to remind ourselves of that daily. So in Christ, we are dead to our sins, we are now alive. The cost has been paid. We do not need to fall into the trap of believing the lies that the devil would have us hear. And perhaps the human culture that would say that if your past isn't pristine and spotless, you don't have a hope. There is a hope in Jesus. Verse 16, we come to the next section. We saw there that Christ was all we need. We can't be saved by anything else. The fullness of Christ came the fullness of God came through Christ, and he saved us. We were disarmed. We were set free. The power of authorities no longer can hold us. So therefore, verse 16, this is when we come to the fact about disqualification. Therefore, keep growing in Christ, not in human traditions. Okay, if Jesus did everything, we don't need to add anything to it. This is the great danger of what may be called the Jesus plus gospel. The Jesus plus gospel is that I need Jesus, plus I need to do all these things, and therefore I am now saved. Paul is going to say right here, because everything is in Jesus, as we saw at the start, we do not need to worry about human traditions. It looks like Jesus plus. And that may look like a number of things, a number of pressures we put on ourselves. I need to be on time to church every Sunday. If not, I'm a bad Christian. I have to have converted 6 people by next Sunday. It might be that I need Jesus, but in my workplace, I need to make sure my friends like me. I have to eat bacon on Monday or wear this jumper on Thursday. They got a bit silly as I got through the list. But you see what happens. We start to make up these rules and regulations we need to have. We think we need all these extra things to be right with God, and we forget that we just need Jesus. And so we see that through this passage. So in verses 16 and 17, Paul is saying there were some things in the Old Testament, some very important things. There were the Sabbath and the celebrations, but these were all just pointing to Jesus. And you have Jesus now, so don't go back to them. The reality, verse 17, however, is found in Christ. And then we have this danger of people who are in some respect proud. They delight in false humility. They claim to worship angels. They're actually not linked to Jesus. They're claiming things that are trying to disqualify people. And this is once again human tradition trying to move in and draw us away from Jesus. Verse 20, since you died with Christ, since we in our baptism, we died to the old way and were raised again to a new life in Jesus, why do you still go back to them? Why do you submit to the rules? Verse 21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These were all based on human commands. We don't need to go back to the human traditions. We can let them go and we can move forward in Christ. That this doesn't mean, obviously, that I talked in the beginning about Christ Jesus being Lord. This does not mean that we're given in a sense a license to follow Jesus but live however we want. In verse 19, we say that they have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God caused it to grow. So Christ gives us everything, but we need to continue in him. We need to continue following him. We have to make sure that we don't start to bring in human ideas into the Bible. And whenever you come to it, you may come to it with ideas that you've got from a background of what we hear in the media, what we hear around us. We need to let the Bible do the talking. We need to let what it says about Jesus do the talking. We need to see what Jesus is telling us. What does it mean to follow him? We want to stay attached to the head that is God. Continue in him, built up in him. Continue to grow in him. Because verse 23 is very key. Paul is dismissing these regulations, these ideas. They seem to have wisdom. It seems wise, perhaps, to have bacon on a Monday. It is wise to have bacon on it. That's the point. It is wise, for example, to make up extra things to try and prove myself to God. The world says I have to prove myself in everything I do. Surely it's wise that I have to have these harsh rules and I have to show I'm a Christian by all these things that I've added. But he says this. He says they have the appearance of wisdom, but their self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. See, actually, all these things will not make us more like Christ. They will not change us. They will not make us like the people as God's called us to be. They are just human philosophies. They have no power. They will not restrain the areas we really struggle with. They will not rescue us from that, maybe a sin, a recurring sin that is plaguing us. Putting in place things that human philosophies and ideas will not ultimately save us. There is only one Saviour, and that is turning back to Jesus. We have to remember that. Colossians carries on. We're not going to carry on this, but Colossians carries on and gives a way in which, as God's people, we are meant to live. But that is only because we have been raised with Christ. That is only because we have God's Holy Spirit in us. That's only because Jesus has made us alive that we can continue to change and grow. Therefore, do not be tempted to add to the gospel. The gospel is not outdated. Jesus does not need a loft conversion, for example. Do not be tempted to add to it. We do not need to keep going with human traditions. And for some of us, that's going to be a daily reminder we need to give each other. We might need to continue to read this section. Maybe continue to read that first section. Jesus is all I need. All I need. Perhaps we find the past a horrible place to go. Perhaps we still feel trapped by what we've done. Perhaps we need the rescue that Jesus brings to set us free from the devil's accusations. Grace is sufficient. And some weeks we need to remind ourselves of this. We need to remind ourselves that those thoughts and fears that play on my mind are there to pull me away from Jesus. As in Jesus, we have all we need. For some of us, we need to remind ourselves that I cannot be saved by adding my own rules to Christianity. I cannot be saved to adding my own rules to Christ. We need to remember it's only through Christ, having him as the center of our lives, having him as our Lord, that we will continue to be transformed. We might be tempted to base our assurance that I'm saved on our own actions. But as Paul says in here, we cannot depend on human traditions. They are lies, they're traps. They appear like they might help us to grow. But actually they won't. The only way to grow is to continue to have Jesus our Lord, to seek him, to seek his ways. I mean, I want you to think of a story in the Odyssey. Odysseus is, the character may be incorrect, but the story is, Odysseus is on his boat and he's sailing along and he comes to the snare of the sirens. Now the sirens sing a wonderful song that seems very enchanting, seems lovely, wonderful. But actually they're luring the boat, the people in the boat, the sailors, to their death. They're luring them to rocks. Now, there was two ways that you could deal with the sirens, and Odysseus could potentially deal with them. Number one, he straps himself to the mast and puts earwax in all the sailors' ears so they can't hear the sirens anymore. So while he screams to be let go, they sail on past. But that means blocking out all sound. But there is another way. He could get some musicians to play a better song, to play a song that's more attractive, so that while they sail past, they don't even notice the sirens. And I want to say for us in our lives, make Jesus your better tune. When you feel the temptation to turn to the world's way of doing things, when you feel in despair because you feel the weight of sin, when you are unsure what it means to follow Jesus, when you feel like you're anxious about fulfilling all those requirements you've set on yourselves, maybe when you know you're putting other people down just to make yourself look better and to save yourself, think again. Make Jesus the better tune. Jesus, the one that said you are forgiven, who has disarmed the devil's lies, they cannot trap you anymore, who is changing us. Make him the better tune in your life. I just want to, our final hymn actually is a wonderful hymn, Before the Throne of God Above. I'm just going to end with this. Verse 2. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, I can say no. Upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. On the cross, Jesus disarmed that guilt we fear. He took away Satan's power to accuse us. So when we feel that, no, there is grace. Look upwards. Remember Jesus and what he's done for us. He has saved us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through Jesus' death on the cross, he has disarmed the devil and his accusations. Lord, we thank you. We do not need to fear our guilt. We don't need to believe the lies we're told. Thank you that Jesus is our Savior. And so, Lord, I pray that as we remember those verses, as we've taken him as our Savior, let us continue to have him as our Lord. Let's live for him. Let's give our lives to him and seek to follow him with our whole hearts. Amen.